Yesterday we celebrated Govardhan Puja, and we read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam about Govardhan Hill, in which the gopis, and some commentators say Srimati Radharani in particular, glorify Govardhan Hill as the best servant of Lord Hari. Hantayam adirabala haridasavaryo yad rama krishna charana sparasha pramoda manam tanoti sahago ganayostayor yat Paniya suya vasakandarakanda mulai. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. O my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram, along with their calves, cows, and cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities, water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offer respects to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. This verse was spoken by the gopis in the autumn, and as mentioned yesterday, the gopis had not yet met Krishna, but they had a desire to meet him, and they heard from Gargi, who is the daughter of Gargamuni, a Brahmin priest related to the family of Krishna in Mathura. They heard from Gargi that by the mercy of great souls, all of one's desires can be fulfilled. And they also heard from her that great souls are devotees. Devotees are great souls. And of all devotees, Govardhan Hill is the best. So they thought, let us tell our elders, because they were all either under the protection of their parents or under the protection of their husbands and in-laws. They had no chance to meet a young man like Krishna. So they thought, let us tell our elders that we want to go to Govardhan Hill to take bath in Manasi Ganga and worship the presiding deity of Govardhan Hill named Haridev. But their real purpose was to get the mercy of Govardhan Hill, because the mercy one can get from the devotee, from Haridas, is greater than the mercy that one can get from Haridev or Krishna. Or, in other words, when one gets the mercy of the devotee, automatically the mercy of the Lord follows. So, Krishna appeared about 5,000 years ago and displayed his pastimes. And the same Krishna appeared again 500 years ago in the mood of a devotee as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities and teachings are described in a scripture called Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we shall first read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita about Lord Chaitanya's visit to Vrindavan and how he saw Govardhan Hill. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 18, The Lord's Visit to Sri Vrindavan. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Text 16. Govardhana Deki Prabhu Haila Dandavat Eka Shila Alingiya Haila Unmata. When the Lord saw Govardhan Hill, he immediately offered obeisances, falling down on the ground like a rod. He embraced one piece of rock from Govardhan Hill and became mad with love. Preme Mata Chali Aila Govardhana Gramya Harideva Dekitan Haila Pranama. Mad with ecstatic love, the Lord came to the village known as Govardhan. It was there that he saw the deity Haridev and offered his obeisances unto him. Mathura Padmera Paschima Dalayanra Vasa Harideva Narayana Adi Parakasha. Haridev is an incarnation of Narayan, and his residence is on the western petal of the lotus of Mathura. Harideva Agenache Preme Matahana Sabaloka Dekite Aila Ascharya Shunya. Mad with ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to dance before the Haridev deity. Hearing of the Lord's wonderful activities, all the people came to see him. Prabhu Prema Sondarya Deki Loke Chamakara Haridevera Britya Prabhura Karila Satkara. The people were astonished when they saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love and personal beauty. The priests who served the Haridev deity offered the Lord a good reception. Then it describes that the Lord spent the night in the temple of Haridev, and continued on his journey. Pratakale Prabhu Manasa Gangaya Karisnana Govardhana Parikramya Karila Prayana. In the morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his bath in a lake called Manasa Ganga. He then circumambulated Govardhan Hill. Govardhana Deki Prabhu Prema Vishtahana Na chite chalila shloka padiya. Just by seeing Govardhan Hill, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became ecstatic with love of Krishna. While dancing and dancing, he recited the following verse. Hantayam adhira bala haridasavaryo Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Parasha Pramoda Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayos Tayor Yat Pani Yasuya Vasakandara Kandamulai. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. The rest of the translation we've already read. So the process that the gopis proposed was proper. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself took bath in Manasi Ganga and worshipped the deity of Haridev at Govardhan Hill. Later, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu retired in Jagannath Puri, and there he manifested the deepest love for Krishna in separation. He would feel the same type of love for Krishna in separation that the residents of Vrindavan felt when Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura and Dwarka. And in the mood of the gopis, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would become mad in feelings of separation from Krishna. He resided in a room called the Gambira at Kashi Mishra's residence, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always attended to by his personal servant Govinda, his secretary Sarup Damodar Goswami, his secretary's assistant, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Sri Ramananda Rai, who was another very confidential associate of the Lord. And sometimes they would lock the Lord in his room at night because they were afraid that in the madness of ecstatic love, he would escape and go running here and there in search of Krishna. And they would never know where he would go or what would become of him. But one day, while walking in Jagannath Puri in broad daylight, with all of his associates, he saw a hill made of sand, or called Chatak Parvat. And that, when he saw that hill, he didn't see Chatak Parvat. He saw Govardhan Hill. And he began to rush madly toward it. he ran as fast as the wind toward the hill. And what happened then is exactly what the gopis, or what we as aspiring devotees of Krishna can hope to achieve by the grace of great souls such as Govardhan Hill, or in particular Govardhan Hill. These are very confidential topics. We discussed quite a bit last night. How many were here last night to hear the talk? So tonight's talk follows last night's discussion. Now, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita based on the notes of Srila Swarup Damodar Das Goswami and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. They were constant companions of the Lord in Puri, and they took notes of his activities. And then later Raghunath Das Goswami himself resided at Govardhan Hill on the banks of Radhakund, and he would speak about the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri to various Vaishnavas. And one of the Vaishnavas in the audience who would hear him speak was Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that what he is writing, he is simply repeating from what he has heard from Swarup Damodar Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. What he has read in their notebooks, and he says that he has complete faith in what they have written, even though what he has written is so extraordinary. Text 80. This is Antilila chapter 14, the Lord's feelings of separation. Text 80. Eta kailun prabhura adbhuta vikara yahara shravane loke lage chamatkara. I have described the uncommon transformations of the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When people hear about this, they are very astonished. No one has witnessed such bodily changes elsewhere, nor has anyone read of them in the revealed scriptures. Yet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the supreme sannyasi, exhibited these ecstatic symptoms. These ecstasies are not described in the shastras, and they are inconceivable to common men. Therefore, people in general do not believe in them. Raghunath Das Goswami lived continuously with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I am simply recording whatever I have heard from him. Although common men do not believe in these pastimes, I believe in them totally. Text 84. Ekadina Mahaprabhu Samudreya Ite Chatak Parvatekilena Achambite. One day, while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to to the sea to bathe, he suddenly saw a sand dune named Chatak Parvat. Can we turn off the fan? Or else keep it on but open? I've heard I'm also feeling it's not healthy to have the fan on with all the doors and windows closed. Govardhana Shaila Gyane Avistaha Ila Paravata Dishate Prabhudana Chaila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mistook the sand dune for Govardhan Hill and ran toward it. Hantaya Madhira Bala Haridasa Varyo Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Parasha Pramoda Manam tanoti sahago ganayos tayor yat pani asuya vasakandarakandamulai. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. O my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram, as well as their calves, cows, and cowherd friends with all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respect to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. Reciting this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ran toward the sand dune as fast as the wind. Govinda ran after him, but he could not catch him. First one devotee shouted loudly, and then a tumultuous uproar arose as all the devotees stood up and began to run after the Lord. Swarup Damodar Goswami, Jagadananda Pandit, Gadadhar Pandit, Ramai, Nandai, and Shankara Pandit are some of the devotees who ran after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati also went toward the beach, and Bhagavan Acharya, who was lame, followed them very slowly. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was running with the speed of the wind, but he suddenly became stunned in ecstasy and lost all strength to proceed further. The flesh at each of his pores erupted like pimples, and his hair, standing on end, appeared like kadamba flowers. Blood and perspiration flowed incessantly from every pore of his body, and he could not speak a word, but simply produced a gargling sound within his throat. The Lord's eyes filled up and overflowed with unlimited tears, like the Ganges and Yamuna meeting the sea. His entire body faded to the color of a white conch shell, and then he began to quiver like the waves in the ocean. While quivering in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell down on the ground. Then Govinda approached him. Govinda sprinkled water from a karanga water pot all over the Lord's body, and then, taking his own outer garment, he began to fan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Swarup Damodar Goswami and the other devotees reached the spot and saw the condition of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they began to cry. all eight kinds of transcendental transformations were visible in the Lord's body. All the devotees were struck with wonder to see such a sight. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The eight ecstatic symptoms are the state of being stunned, perspiration, standing of the hairs on end, faltering of the voice, trembling, fading of the body's color, tears, and devastation. These symptoms are mentioned in the scriptures, but it's very rare that someone will experience all eight simultaneously. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. Also, there are different degrees of experience of the different symptoms. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu experienced them all to the most intense degree.
What is the last Mandala station? What
does devastation mean? It means... You mean in this context or just the word?
In this context. I mean, what is that? What is the symptom? Manifestation of
Well, devastation. I can't say other than what's mentioned here, but it's the body is completely overwhelmed with ecstatic love, and one is, of course, it's true of all of them, but one is unable to function. You know, one feels that one cannot keep one's body and soul together.
Total absorption.
Yeah, definitely. But that's true of when one comes to that stage of prema, one is totally absorbed. But this is even more than simple prema. This is prema also has different degrees of development. There's prema, rag, sneha, anurag, bhav, mahabhav, mana. Man comes earlier. Ucha sankirtana kare prabhura shravane sitala jale kare prabhura anga samarjane. The devotees loudly chanted the Hare Krishna mantra near Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and washed his body with cold water. After the devotees had been chanting for a long time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suddenly stood up, shouting, Hari Bol. Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stood up, all the Vaishnavas loudly chanted, Hari, Hari! Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
In great jubilation, the auspicious sound filled the air in all directions. Astonished, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stood up and began looking here and there, trying to see something, but he could not catch sight of it. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw all the Vaishnavas, he returned to partial external consciousness and spoke to Swarup Damodar. So the phrase for half external consciousness is Ardabhaya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would move between three states in consciousness. Baya Dasha means external consciousness. That's what everyone has, consciousness of the external world. Then there's Antardasha, that is internal consciousness. Means consciousness of the internal world, which really means consciousness of the spiritual world. In Antardasha, one actually enters into the pastimes of Krishna. So when externally Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exhibiting such extraordinary symptoms, internally he was experiencing himself in Krishna Lila, or one could say that he had a glimpse of Krishna Lila and his service in Krishna Lila. So that is Antardasha. And Ardabhaya Dasha is the in-between stage, half external consciousness. And right now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come from Antardasha into Ardabhaya Dasha. He's aware that there are devotees around him, but he's still absorbed in the consciousness that he had been with Krishna. And he's not conscious of how people would see him, what people would think about him. And in the state of half external consciousness, he reveals confidential facts about his internal state of consciousness, or his experience during his internal state of consciousness. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw all the Vaishnavas, he returned to partial external consciousness and spoke to Swarup Damodar. Govardhana haite more ka ihan anila Pana Krishnera lila dekite na paila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Who has brought me here from Govardhan Hill? I was seeing Lord Krishna's pastimes, but now I cannot see them. Ihan haite ajimui jenu Govardhane dekon yadi Krishna karina godana charane. Today I went from here to Govardhan Hill to find out if Krishna were tending his cows there. Govardhana chadi Krishna bhajaila venu Govardhane ra chaudike chare sabadenu. I saw Lord Krishna climbing Govardhan Hill and playing his flute, surrounded on all sides by grazing cows. Hearing the vibration of Krishna's flute, Srimati Radharani and all her gopi friends came there to meet him. They were all very nicely dressed. When Krishna and Srimati Radharani entered a cave together, the other gopis asked me to pick some flowers. Now here is the picture. Here's Lord Chaitanya. In the picture, he's depicted in sannyas dress. And here are the gopis, sakis, picking flowers. And here Radha and Krishna about to enter a cave and go Govardhan Hill. Hena kale tumi saba kola hala kaila tahan haiti dari more ihan lana aila. Just then, all of you made a tumultuous sound and carried me from there to this place. Why have you brought me here, causing me unnecessary pain? I had a chance to see Krishna's pastimes, but I could not see them. Saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to weep. When all the Vaishnavas saw the Lord's condition, they also wept. At that time, Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati arrived. Seeing them, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became somewhat respectful. Because they were senior to him, and seeing them, he had to show them respect. And he had to contain his emotions. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to complete external consciousness and immediately offered prayers to them. Then these two elderly gentlemen both embraced the Lord with loving affection. Prabhu kahe dunhe kene aila eta dure puri gosani kahe tomara nritya deki bare. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Puri Goswami and Brahmananda Bharati, "Why have you both come so far?" Puri Goswami replied, "Just to see your dancing." When he heard this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was somewhat ashamed. Then he went to bathe in the sea with all the Vaishnavas. After bathing in the sea, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to his residence with all the devotees. Then they all lunched on the remnants of food offered to Lord Jagannath. Thus I have described the transcendental ecstatic emotions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even Lord Brahma cannot describe their influence. In his book, Gauranga Stava Kalpa Vriksha, Raghunath Das Goswami has very vividly described Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime of running toward the Chatak Parvat sand dune. Samipe niladres chataka giri rajasya kalanad. Aye goshte govardhana giri patim lokitumita. Rajan asmityuktva pramada eva davan avkvito. Ganai svaya gorango hridaya udayan mamadayati. Near Jagannath Puri was a great sand dune known as Chatak Parvat. Seeing that hill, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Oh, I shall go to the land of Raja to see Govardhan Hill. Then he began running madly toward it, and all the Vaishnavas ran after him. This scene awakens in my heart and maddens me. Purport. This verse is quoted from the Gauranga Stavakalpa Vriksha 8. Who can properly describe all the uncommon pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? They are all simply his play. I have briefly described them just to give an indication of his transcendental pastimes. Nevertheless, anyone who hears this will certainly attain the shelter of Lord Krishna's lotus feet. Chirupa Raghunatha Padayara Asha Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Dasa. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita following in their footsteps. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila, chapter 14. Describing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental ecstatic emotions and his mistaking Chatak Parvat for Govardhan Hill. So, although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was often in the mood of Srimati Radharani and separation from Krishna. But here, in this meeting at Govardhan Hill, he was one of the subordinate gopis who was engaged in service to the divine couple. And that is possible for us. No living entity can become Srimati Radharani or Nanda Maharaj or Yasoda Mai. But one can become their servants. Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamale or Dasa Dasa Anudasa. And can be the servant of the servant of the servants of Krishna. So these are the mercy. Of course, it's a pastime, but otherwise, it's the mercy that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got from Govardhan Hill. From Chatak Parvat, not even the original Govardhan Hill, but Jagannath Puri is also a dham, and different places in Jagannath Puri also correspond to different places in Vraj. So Chatak Parvat corresponds to Govardhan Hill. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur constructed a big mutt there. He himself spent most of his time when he was in Puri at Chatak Parvat. And it is said that in his last days, he was often reciting a prayer, asking for residence at Govardhan Hill. That is a prayer, 10 verses by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami praying for residence at Govardhan Hill. nijanikatas nivehi govardhanatvam. Please grant me the residence near to you that is so dear to me. And Srila Prabhupada also in his last days had a desire to go to Govardhan Hill. Of course, it was the time of Govardhan Puja. And Srila Prabhupada said, we must participate. But at the time, he was very ill. He was in what turned out to be the last few days of his physical presence in that form on earth. But he wanted to go on bullock cart to Govardhan Hill and spend the night there, camp out, and observe Govardhan Puja with the Rijvasis. His disciples prevailed upon him not to go because it would be too hard on him. And the Kaviraj, who was attending him, confirmed that if he were to attempt the journey, he would probably give up his life on the way. But then after Srila Prabhupada left, about 3 days later, devotees took a small deity of him on Govardhan Parikrama. And there are a few parts I remember vividly. But at the end they brought the deity to Radhakund. And they placed the deity at the Sangam, which is the, it means the place where Radhakund and Shyamakund meet, but it's, there's a, cement, you could say, platform between the two kunds there. And they placed his deity there and did kirtan. And at that moment, I just had the perception that the deity of Srila Prabhupada actually was Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was actually there. Then some years later, when His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami and I began to understand more deeply the importance of Govardhan Hill, we got the idea to acquire a property there. There was a palace that had belonged to a king. And, it still belonged to him, but he wasn't a king anymore because after independence, all the kings ceded their powers to the government of India. But it was a beautiful property at the best part of Govardhan Hill, where you get the best darshan. And so, but it was somewhat in disrepair. It wasn't being used. It was just lying vacant. So we found out that the palace belonged to the king of Chhatarpur in Madhya Pradesh. But he had two main palaces, one in Chhatarpur and one in Khajuraho. So we went to Khajuraho, and we didn't know what to expect, but we found out where the palace was, and there was the king sitting on the front porch. It's an old man. So we approached him, and we told him our purpose. And he was aware of ISKCON. He had been to the Krishna Balaram temple, and he was very impressed with the worship of the deities, with the kirtan, with the cleanliness of the temple, with the organization. So I asked him to donate the palace to us, and he said that if it was earlier, he would have given it to us. But now times were not so good for the kings, and although he would have liked to have given it to us, he felt he had to ask for some payment. So he gave a figure that was really a fraction of what the property was worth. And, you know, we didn't want him to go back on his word later. You know, sometimes out of sentiment, people say something or promise something, and then later they have second thoughts. So I said, can I see your deity? Thinking when we get to the deities, he can repeat his promise in front of the deities. So he actually worshipped a deity of Satbhuj. Satbhuj is a special form of Lord Chaitanya that Lord Chaitanya manifested. The Satbhuj form has six arms. In two hands, Lord Chaitanya holds his sannyas danda and kamandalu, his water pot. In another two arms, he holds a flute. And in his other two hands, he holds a bow and arrow, as Lord Ramachandra. So the Satbhuj is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but manifesting a form that reveals that he is also Krishna and also Lord Ramachandra. So when we came in front of Satbhuj, I said, this is very auspicious. You have offered your palace to the devotees in ISKCON. You know, you should repeat your commitment in front of your deity, which he did. Anyway, there were complications. From the beginning, as soon as his panda, who is like, I don't even know how to describe his panda, but his panda felt that he should have been consulted before he entered any agreement with us to give us the palace. And his panda said, you know, the property is worth much more, you shouldn't give it to these people. And so he tried to come in the way. And the king's son, the relatives, the close family members, they also felt they should have been consulted because it was an ancestral property and they all have a share in it. so they also put obstacles. So I went back to visit the king. You know, he kept saying he was going to do it, but he wasn't doing it. But he said, you know, he said that they're telling me not to give to you, and that it's worth much more, but I've given my word, I won't go back on my word. But nothing was happening. So, Tamal Krishna Goswami thought, you know, we need to use another approach here. So he sent two pretty heavy-duty ISKCON lawyer types to Khajuraho. Mahaprabhu Das, who actually is a lawyer from Bombay, and Mahamantra Das from Delhi, who there are certain lawyers in India, they specialize in dealing with government officers. So Mahamantra Das, who's sort of that kind. So the two of them went, and they understood the situation. They reported to Tamal Krishna Goswami, and Tamal Krishna Goswami said, you know, just pay them off. So they did. You know, he said, don't spend more than you have to, but pay them off. I want this transferred in our name. So they did. They paid off all the greedy family members and secretaries. And then on the auspicious day of Varaha Dvadasi, we went to the Mathura courthouse and actually got the land registered in ISKCON's name. And the day after Varaha Dvadasi is Nityananda Trayodasi. So on Nityananda Trayodasi, we actually entered the property with Harinam Sankirtan and began to occupy the property. So, and then, you know, we renovated the palace and ultimately brought a deity of Srila Prabhupada, thinking that it was his final desire, well, one of his last desires to go to Govardhan Hill. And so there's a room where the king used to give audience. It was like elevated, and it would face the Govardhan Hill, and then there would be a courtyard, and I guess his subjects or citizens or admirers would sit in the courtyard. So in the same place where the king used to sit on his throne and his court, we brought the deity of Srila Prabhupada. And now he is residing at Govardhan Hill, and having constant darshan of Govardhan Hill, and vice versa. Hare Krishna. Shri Giri Govardhan ki jai, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Itai Gaur Premanandi Hare. So are there any questions or comments?
How did you and Srila Gurudev choose the
Oh. Well, the main deities of Krishna Balaram at the palace, not even sure. The king himself had a sizable number of Govardhan Shilas. And in the garden in the front of the palace, there's a sort of a shrine-type structure that's filled with Govardhan Shilas. But I'm not actually sure about Krishna Balaram. Anyone here know? No. But we have two little Govardhan Shilas in Carpinteria. And the Krishna came from the king's collection of Shilas that were in the front garden, and the Radharani came from Govindakund. His Holiness Indradumya Swami heard that I was coming to get Govardhan Shila, so he kept his eyes open when he was doing parikrama, and he found the one at Govindakund. He had a few, but we thought, well, let's look a little further. So then we went down and went through the ones in the garden in front of the palace, and then we took that one up, and Indradumya Swami placed that one next to the one from Govindakund, and he said, you know, now who does that look like? And it just looked like Radha and Krishna, so that's how those deities came to Carpinteria. Yes, Rasikendra Prabhu?
You mentioned yesterday that during the past, Govardhan could be worshipped in the mood of a devotee, and also can be worshipped as Krishna himself.
Mm-hmm.
So in our tradition, what is typically the mood the devotees worship Govardhan as?
Devotees can worship him either as Krishna or as Haridasa Varya, as the best servant of Krishna. It's worship both ways. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipped Govardhan Hill as Krishna because he was in the mood of Radharani. When it's described, he embraced a rock from Govardhan Hill and was mad in ecstasy. He was in the mood of Radharani embracing Krishna. But he was always repeating this verse. You know, when he came to Govardhan in Vrindavan, and when he saw Chatak Parvat and mistook it as Govardhan Hill, he repeated the verse. So there's no one way. Different devotees have different moods, or sometimes the same devotee might have different moods at different times. But the worship of Govardhan Hill as a devotee is more esoteric, because most people are sort of atheists or agnostics. They don't really have faith. And for them to understand that the deity is Krishna is an important step until they actually have faith that the deity is Krishna, they're not really considered devotees. Even then, they can be largely on the material platform. They're called prakriti bhaktas, but they're bhaktas because they have faith that the deity is Krishna, that the Lord has form, and that the deity is the Lord. So that's quite advanced from a certain point of view. Most people are not bhaktas. Most people who come to the temple even are not necessarily bhaktas. They don't really have faith, or they're not sure if they really have faith. So for them to understand that Govardhan Hill is Krishna is important. You know, and Govardhan Hill is Krishna, but he's just in the mood of a devotee. So the idea that Govardhan Hill is Krishna, but in the mood of a devotee, is more advanced or more esoteric. So, like here, we worship him with a flute, peacock feather. The people should understand that Govardhan Hill is Krishna, Govardhan Shila is Krishna. Yes, Sri Radhika.
I was wondering, like, Lord Balaram is also the best servant of Krishna.
Sri Radhika Dasi says that Balaram is also the best servant of Krishna because he also becomes Krishna's bed and couch and umbrella and everything. So that's true. In fact, some Govardhan Shilas, which are lighter in color, are taken as Balaram. And Vrajariti Chintamani by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that some are gopis. Some of the Shilas are gopis. They're all the best servants. Janak Maharaj Das says that on Parikrama, if you go beyond Govindakund, there's Shankarshankund, and there's a Dauji temple. Dauji refers to Balaram, the older brother of Krishna, and there Balaram is also in the mood of servant. Correct. Yeah, Chaitanya Charitamrita says that everyone, you know, wants to be the servant of Krishna. Everyone is imbued with the mood of service to Krishna. Even Balaram, Mahavishnu, Shiva. Yeah, they're all in the mood of Haridas. Yes, that's right. Yes. Indranuja Prabhu. Yeah. Well, when I was in Mayapur this time, after a long time, there was a lunch. Holiness Radhanath Swami and His Grace Janani Vas Prabhu, His Grace Pankajangri Prabhu, and I were invited. And we discussed many of these points. And Janani Vas Prabhu mentioned some pastimes in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into the mood of Krishna and decorated his hair with peacock feathers, although it wasn't his usual mood, but on occasion it was his mood. But beyond that, it's the same point. Srila Prabhupada wanted people to understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. He wanted his own disciples to understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. And in some instances, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not dressed with the peacock feather, he asked, "Where's the peacock feather? You should be dressed with a peacock feather." So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has different moods. One of his moods is he wants to spread Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada was empowered to spread Krishna consciousness, and he understood that to spread Krishna consciousness, people had to understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, and therefore he should also be decorated with a peacock feather to demonstrate the idea that he's Krishna, and he is Krishna. So I wouldn't say one is right or one is wrong. That was our conclusion. It's not that one is right or one is wrong, but that was part of the discussion, say. You know, there's rasa and tattva. You know, in terms of rasa, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of a devotee, he wouldn't want to have a peacock feather. In terms of tattva, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. You know, we're talking about sadbuj. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in two hands he's holding a flute. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he's not always in the mood of being the servant of Krishna or devotee of Krishna. Sometimes he's in the mood of being Krishna. In the Mahaprakash, he's in the mood of being Krishna. So it's true that it would disturb a mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be decorated with peacock feathers, but we couldn't say that it would disturb every mood, because he has varieties of moods. Is that all right? Yeah. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also showed Ramananda Rai the form of Radha and Krishna, combined form of Radha and Krishna. Rasi Kendra Prabhu?
Well, you see, when we do Govardhan Parikrama, you see some elderly people, they're doing Dandavat Parikrama. But I've heard from the devotees sometimes the motive is that to get their daughters married off. The motive might not be spiritual, but they're doing Dandavat Parikrama. So this is a very amazing thing. Just to walk around Govardhan, get very tired, can imagine doing Dandavat Parikrama. What would be the benefit of those devotees who go to Govardhan with some motive which is not completely spiritual? Would they still get love for Krishna?
Uh, not necessarily. Like, people come to our deities. We don't know what their motives are. Krishna fulfills all desires. It's really by the mercy of a devotee that one gets bhakti. Of course, doing Govardhan Parikrama or coming to the temple, one gets the chance to associate with pure devotees and get the seed of devotional service, but it's not automatic that just by seeing the deity or doing parikrama or even dandavat parikrama that one will get bhakti.
Krishna being so benevolent, would it be possible that he may give them, you know, the direction to get to him? Because they've done some austerity, even though their mind was not completely pure. He might, because they're
yes,
guide them to a proper way.
Yes.
To come back.
Yes. That's true. Everyone heard? Yes. Very nice. Chita Krodha Prabhu.
So we hear many times that because the mercy of the devotee, we get bhakti. But how does this mercy work? It's not like magic and spell.
The devotee prays to Krishna to give mercy. That's how it works. But you have to accept the mercy.
So we are saying the devotee's mercy, not directly Krishna's mercy. So you said because the devotee's mercy, we get the love of Krishna, right?
By the devotee's mercy, one gets love for Krishna, one gets bhakti. Begins with Shraddha. First Shraddha.
So for me, I understand mercy is something is even if we don't deserve, but because it's causeless. It's causeless, or the mercy is not causeless. It's because something.
It's causeless. But if one is eager to serve and hear, one is more likely to receive the causeless mercy. By being eager to serve and eager to hear, one cannot force the mercy to come, but when a Vaishnava sees that someone is eager to serve and eager to hear, then he's naturally inclined to give mercy. Another understanding of giving mercy is giving instructions.